hey, we appreciate it. And, you know, it's been a very good season for your team, and it's going to extend a little bit with some division playoffs in the Pacific. But Order fans are very curious about a few of the young players. They've seen Ryan McLeod up. They like him. You know, Tyler Benson leads your team in scoring with over a point a game. But can you give me your early reports on Raphael Lavoie, who's now played 13 games for your team? You know, he's only 19 years of age still. He's a young player, 6'3", over 200 pounds already. What do you like about him, Jay? What's impressed you most in the first 13 games?
Well, Raph's been a very good hockey player for us, and I think he has a bunch of natural gifts and instincts that not every player has, and they're exciting qualities. First one is that he loves to shoot the puck. He's born to shoot, and he's not afraid. You know, to when the puck comes in his kind of circle of influence there, to get it away fast and get it away with some accuracy. He's a shot volume guy, and for a team that likes that and encourages that, I think he fits us well in that regard. I think the other thing about him is last time I saw him was at training camp the previous season, and he's growing into becoming a man now. He's not fully there yet. He's not fully matured yet. But you can see that he has the body frame of an NHL hockey player. He's big, he's strong, and he's strong on his stick as well. So there's a lot of really good things about him. I think when he first came to the team, he was adjusting to the pace of the American Hockey League and just, you know, re-establishing himself on North American ice surface after spending the first part of his year over in the Allsvenskan in Sweden. And then he kind of took off. He got hot. And over the last little while, we've played a lot of games in a very short period of time. And he's learning about the consistency required day in, day out, game in, game out, period in, period out, and shift in, shift out, that the best hockey players in the American Hockey League set a standard for. And so for me, you know, he's getting great experience. He's playing a ton, and there's just little things in his game that we continue to work with him, and we're excited about him.
You talk a little bit about his shooting, his you know, affinity for shooting often. Is there a kind of a learning grid to understand when a shot is a shot and when's a shot's you know, maybe a turnover in some cases, Jay?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, we encourage someone, or we encourage all our guys to, you know, have their shot selection to be smart shot selection, not just to pump up the Corsi number, so to speak. You know, we want to take good shots with the puck. We want people to understand different situations where, you know, a shot with traffic might be more beneficial than a shot without traffic. We're looking for, you know, different types of shots and shot location too. I think that's it's a very good exercise sometimes just to plot where players are getting their shots from and recognizing what parts of the ice, you know, they may be getting to or they may not be getting to. And so those are all, you know, things that we talk about as a staff with our younger players. And, you know, like I said, it's part of his learning process as a young pro as well.
Jay Woodcroft joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader TSN 1260, head coach of the Bakersfield Condors. And I want to talk about your goaltending. Maybe specifically, let's start with just goaltending coach Sylvain Rodrigue, and just working with, you know, Skinner and then you know, Olivier Rodrigue. You got Konovalov, who just signed, who might be there. But just talk about kind of the emergence and the development of your young goalies this season.
It's been a real strength of our team. I think, you know, it's been a different year with goaltenders, with obviously the organization losing Forsberg on waivers early, and then Mike Smith had the injury, and that forced Stuart Skinner to stay up and get a little bit of experience in action at the NHL level, which I thought was great for him. He put a lot of work in up there and came down with a positive experience. But to start our season, that meant that one of our younger goalies down here, Olivier Rodrigue, was thrown into the fire right off the bat and got some great experience. Both of those guys, I think, have really turned their game up in the month of April, and they give us a chance to win. Both put in a ton of great work with our goaltending coach, Sylvain Rodrigue. He's related to Olivier, so they have their relationship, but, you know, he does a great job of managing his relationship with Stuart, and to see how far Stuart come in 3 years has been impressive.
Do you make a game plan as you look along and kind of to for a goal or with your goalie coach and kind of work on a plan, say, you know, what do you see him needing and as far as timing and development and, you know, maybe even like if this makes sense, taking risks in games on adding these new elements to their game. Is there a conversation for you with your goalie coach and your goalies over the course of a season?
Yeah, I think, Strudz, I think there's a dialogue. We start out with a game plan. We might talk about what I'm seeing from a head coach's perspective. Now, I always defer to the goaltender coach on the technical side of things, but that doesn't mean I can't say, well, I keep noticing, you know, this in this situation, or is there a way we can tighten up this area here? It's in, you know, other teams might be focusing on this part of our play, that type of thing. And I might throw those out in broad terms. And then the goalie coach, Sly, and the goalie, whatever goalie that may be, you know, they build that into their practice plans and whatnot. I think the majority of our discussions on this year has been geared towards management of practice time, management of playing time, trying to find the optimal number of games for Stuart, the optimal number of games for Ollie, and for us, that's where we spent a lot of our time. In fact, you know, given the schedule, and there's been some schedule changes because of COVID things and whatnot, we've tried to maximize rest and place a premium on rest for Skinner. And, you know, it's paid dividends, especially down the stretch here. And obviously, you know, with his results in the month of April, that earned him the goaltender of the month in the American Hockey League. That's exciting for him personally. It's exciting for us as an organization here in Bakersfield, and certainly for the prospects of our goaltender pipeline in the Edmonton Oilers organization.
Jay Woodcroft joins us. I'm the Sports Leader, TSN 1260. Now, Jay, as a coach, like the goaltending position, you know, some coaches say, hey, you know what, I try not to get too involved in it because I don't necessarily understand it. Where do you come out on the goal? Like, obviously, you have to try to understand it as much as you can, but it seems to be a more difficult one to analyze, even for goalie people, never mind, you know, non-goalies. Where do you come out on evaluating the goalie position, and do you lean more on your goalie coach when it comes to the goalies than any other position?
No, I wouldn't say I lean on Sly more than I would on David, who played over 1,000 games in the NHL as a defenseman, or J.F. Fool, who's been a coach for a long time and was a good forward in his career in his own right. I would say that, you know, the technical side of things, the VH versus the RVH, the post play, the options for puck play when the puck dribbles to a goaltender, all that kind of stuff, you know, we talk about it, we communicate, we're clear, and we have a plan. But the nitty-gritty of that I leave, obviously, to the expert in that field, and I try and empower him just as I would with Dave or JF. And, you know, but we have an overarching view or an overarching plan, and when we're looking at a particular goaltender, you know, there might be thoughts on strengths or weaknesses, strengths that we want to continue to develop, weaknesses that we have to tighten up, and I might have an opinion on it. I don't think it's you know, necessarily at the same level as someone who's played that position, but I might have an opinion. We'll talk about it, and we'll address those things. One of the things that that I think as a coach and for a healthy coaching staff is that there has to be that level of communication, everybody being on the same page, everybody having a say and discussing it. And I'm fortunate because I'm surrounded by three really good coaches that certainly make me a smarter hockey person. And my relationship with Sly in that regard is huge. So much so that we also encourage Sly to talk about the other team's goaltenders, to discuss goal scoring from a goaltender's point of view. And, you know, our guys like that, and we're one of the highest scoring teams in the league over the last few years. And I think it's just smart hockey when you can get more people talking about trying to find ways to succeed.
Jay Woodcroft joins, Condors head coach for Bakersfield. Jay, you know, McLeod has come up and was having, you know, some success. He looks quite comfortable. As a coach, or I guess two questions. As a coach, how does that feel? And B, what does that do to the other players on your team that continue to play in the AHL?
Well, first thing is, as a coach, I'm excited. I love seeing these young guys achieve their lifelong dream. I know that they're there not by accident. It's a product of their talent and a product of their hard work. And usually when they end up in the American Hockey League, they have things that they need to address in their game. And to see them address those things and earn their opportunity and then make good on that opportunity, that's very rewarding as a coach and for our coaching staff. I've said it before, it's like we're proud parents when these guys go up the ladder there. So that's awesome. The other thing is, in terms of our team, you know, our team cares so much about that and is so happy for that person, whoever it may be. You know, for example, last night we played a game. It was a little bit earlier than the Oilers-Vancouver game. We were on the bus coming home, and the players wanted the Oilers game put on so that they could see their buddy, Ryan McLeod, you know, succeed at the highest level and watch the organization's top team earn a playoff spot. And I think that's extremely healthy when that type of stuff happens. I think it provides a line of sight between, hey, if I do what I need to do and we have a good team down here and we place a premium on development and doing that in a winning atmosphere, and if I do what I need, you know, maybe one day I'll learn that opportunity. And you know, I think that's very, very healthy for an organization when you have that type of push from underneath.
Jay Woodcroft joins us, Hamilton Sports Leader, TSN 1260. Jay, as a coach, you know, in this season, you know, outside of McLeod, really, you know, there hasn't been any other recalls. Tobias Lennstrom did come up to the taxi squad, but never got in any games. And, you know, that's obviously very abnormal. Usually, you know, there's lots of recalls, and that creates some excitement. As a coach, you know, a guy like Tyler Benson, who, you know, was up here, you know, got a sniff last year and was thinking, hey, maybe I'll get that. Do you have to, you know, be in open conversation with him about that? Just say, hey, try not to get too discouraged, because obviously, you know, all players in the AHL want to get to the NHL.
Yeah, I think, Jason, that conversation happened when those players were first sent down after the NHL camp, and based on the pandemic and the 14-day quarantine and all that kind of stuff. And what it did was it allowed our team to just focus on the task at hand. It allowed the individuals not to have to worry about, oh, when am I going to get recalled or not recalled? You know, that type of thing, that noise was pretty much eliminated. Now, you get to the end of April and Ryan McLeod gets called up. I think that's positive for everybody here. I think if you're looking at guys like Benson, you mentioned, that is at the top end of the scoring chart in the American Hockey League, or even Cooper Marody, who leads the league in goals, scored another game winner for us last night. Those guys, they're number one, they're happy for their line mate and teammate. Number two, they understand that Ryan got that opportunity because he was playing at the level he needed to play at and because of circumstances within the big club's roster. Their job as individual players here in the American Hockey League is to do whatever they need to do to continue to develop, to stay ready, to help our team win down here. And if they maintain that kind of mindset, they know that they'll get their chance one day again, and they just have to make sure they're ready for it and make good on it when it does come.
Jay, one last one for you. With all your big defensemen, and the height reigns supreme on the blue line in Bakersfield. You got Broberg probably coming next year, Samorikov coming next year. You got Kemp and Kesselring and Desharnais. Can you do different things when the smallest defender is 6'3"?
Well, yeah, I think when we sat down at the beginning of our season and we saw how our back end was built and what we had. And I would also add Nima Leinen there, who's 6'6" in dry feet or in bare feet. And I'd add Kevin Gravel, who's at least 6'4". And both those guys have been excellent for us here this year. I think when we sat down and looked at our back end, we realized a few things. Number one, we felt that we could get in the way of the opponent very well with that type of size. We could close quickly. We could frustrate people by getting, some type of contact on them. And we wanted to play towards our advantage. We weren't necessarily built like other teams in our division or our league that might have a bunch of smallish puck movers that get up in the rush every time and are active in the ozone. So we had to devise a system of play that complemented the decor that we did have. And I think you'd see if you just ran a cursory check of the numbers, we don't give up a lot. We have an excellent penalty kill. We have, if you're just charting zone time, we don't spend a lot of time in our own end. And I think that's a credit to our decor. I think it's a credit to our decor's willingness to challenge lines, to not just resort to playing inside the dots and giving up free entries. Those type of things. And I think, it's just been serendipitous in how it's come together. And it's a full credit to the hard work of all the guys that make up our back end.
Jay, it's always good to catch up with you. Appreciate it. Continued success the rest of the season.
Thanks, guys. Have a great afternoon.